Okay, it is somewhat difficult to understand the flow at the end of Sefer Shemos, because at the end of last week's parsha, we learned about Moshe Rabbeinu's descent from Har Sinai, and his face was radiating to the point that he needed a masveh, he needed some sort of a veil or a mask, a shield over his face to protect other people from the glow that his face was producing. And then the beginning of Vayakel is Shabbos. We learned about Shabbos at the beginning of Vayakel. So what exactly is the connection between these two? Meaning the beginning of Yaakov tells us there's an asifa, right? Moshe Rabbeinu gathers everyone together, and presumably you imagine he's coming down with this glowing face and he's gathering everybody together, so he's going to give some sort of new exciting message, and all he gives is Shabbos. You know, why is the aftermath of Moshe's descent from the Har a discussion about Shabbos? And not only that, it's not typical to have an asifa, a gathering, a hakel, an assembly, whatever you want to call it, for something that's, Shabbos is a very important mitzvah, but it is one of 613 mitzvahs. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. Did we have a special assembly for all of the other mitzvahs in the Torah? You would imagine a gathering is like to introduce a new leader, you know, now Yeshua is going to take over, or to, a retirement party, or Kabbalah Satorah, Kriyas Yamsuf, you know, these kinds of things, you know, would get a gathering, would get an asifa. But teaching a particular mitzvah in the Torah doesn't seem like something that is appropriate for an asifa. And to exacerbate the issue, this isn't the only time we're told about Shabbos. It essentially was an assembly to tell everybody what they already knew, to tell them about Shabbos, which they already knew about Shabbos. It was something that is repeated multiple times throughout the Chumash, where we learn about Shabbos. So why does Moshe have to gather everybody together to tell them something that they already knew? And again, why is that connected to the particular glow and glean that Moshe Rabbeinu's face had, the karakikaran or panav? So the Balaturim explains the juxtaposition of Moshe Rabbeinu's radiant face and at the end of Parshas Kisisa with the command of Shabbos at the beginning of Parshas Vayakel. Baal Turim points out the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah says that on Shabbos every Jew's face radiates on Shabbos. That on Shabbos there's a certain glow to everybody. Rav Soloveitchik once described what Shabbos was like in pre-war Warsaw. Rav Soloveitchik described that Shabbos was unique in Warsaw. The closed shops, the flickering light of the Shabbos candles shrinking through thousands of windows created a festive atmosphere. The streets were filled with men of all ages on their way to the various synagogues. Ger, Lublin, Novominsk, Vizhnitz, Belz, Alexander. Some were dressed in long robes with fur shtreimelach on their heads, regardless of the season, hurtling to their respective shtibelach. Many of them probably suffered from poverty during the week. But on Shabbos, their faces were radiant. They forgot their sorrows and thrust despair out of their souls. Their only desire was to reach a state of ecstasy, which would bring them closer to their Maker. So Rav Soloveitchik had a way of saying things, obviously, but that description, the first half probably most of us can relate to, the idea of everyone rushing and candles, you see candles lit through the windows and everyone running to their different shuls, dressed in their nice Shabbos clothing. Okay, so maybe all of our communities also have people running to different shuls, to 1,000 different shuls, and the candles lit in the window. Maybe our clothing is not as nice as it ought to be for Shabbos, you know, depending on which community you live in, but we can relate to that. But that second part is not to be taken for granted. Someone who may be suffering from poverty during the week, throwing all of his sorrows and all of his despair out the window in order to be able to experience Shabbos, Rav Soloveitchik would often repeat this description of a Jew on Shabbos. Even the poorest Jews, who looked as forlorn as their station in life would suggest that they should look, would transform on Shabbos into like a radiant angel. Rav Volbi has a similar description. In Ali Shur Chilik Beis, Rav Volbi writes that Rav Yeruchim Levavitz, the Mir Mashkiach, would undergo a transformation each Shabbos. It got to a point that new Talmidim to the yeshiva would see the Mashkiach come to the Beis Medrash on Friday night, and they assumed that the yeshiva had a different Mashkiach for Shabbos than they had for during the week. They didn't recognize him. He looked so different on Shabbos, how he put himself together and he glowed on Shabbos. They thought it was a different person, that it was a different Mashkiach. In fact, the Mayana Shel Torah quotes a Sfas Emes, who explains that that's why Panim Chadashos is not needed for Shabbos Shavu Brachos. Right? Tosos and Ksuvos has that funny medrash that he quotes, that you don't need Panim Chadashos on Shabbos, because once Shabbos is there, Panim Chadashos are Baal Lekam. That Shabbos itself is the Panim Chadashos. You ever stop to ask yourself, what? Meaning, the Panim Chadashos is a halacha. What do you mean Shabbos is a Panim Chadashos? Shabbos is not a person, Shabbos is not a face, Shabbos is not any of these things. How can a day on the calendar serve as Panim Chadashos? So says this Sfas Emes. On Shabbos, we quite literally are all zocha to Panim Chadashos. Kikaran or Panav is a little bit of what we're able to tap into on Shabbos, that we're able to have that certain glowing countenance on Shabbos. The starving pauper, the financially successful businessman, doesn't make a difference. Everyone in between are standing shoulder to shoulder right next to each other. You can't tell the difference between them, right? You ever have like a frum guy who's like your plumber or carpenter or whatever, and comes to your house, he's got like a beard, but he comes to your house, and I'm picturing a guy, and comes to your house to do the work with his work pants and his kalim and his tools, and he's a little messy. Then you see him on Shabbos, he looks like Chassidish Rebbe, and you're like, well, what happened over here? There's a transformation that people go through on Shabbos. Joe Lieberman has a book about Shabbos, and a small book about what's special about Shabbos. And in the book, he describes how in his shul in Washington, he finds it inspiring that you can have a person who's a garbage collector and a person who's a United States senator, and there's no difference between them. Meaning they sit next to each other in shul, no one gets more alleles than the other one. Yeah, it's Shabbos, they're all the same. Everyone, it's a great equalizer that people are able to all tap into this special experience of Shabbos. And with that, we can answer the questions. The glow of Moshe Rabbeinu's face was earned when he ascended beyond the world and he had a direct encounter with the Ribbono Shel. The Gemara Chagiga Daf Yud Beis tells us that Hashem created a very special kind of light, and he was Gones L'Tzadikim L'Asudavo. It's the Ora Gonos, who's Nignas L'Tzadikim L'Asudavo. It's reserved for another world. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went up, was able to access some of that light. So what else, what other experience could give us some access to some of that light? Well, Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. So we too, on Shabbos, are able to access that aura that's Ganus La'asalavo, that's Ganus for Olam Haba, because Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. So we can pick up a little bit of that, and that's the juxtaposition of the end of Parshas Kisisa, which spoke of Moshe Rabbeinu's glow, and the beginning of Vayakhel, which speaks of the day that we can each gain our own glow. And while the Jewish people knew about Shabbos from many other times in the Torah when it's taught to us, this gathering, Rashi tells us, was specifically Mimachras Yom HaKippurim. It was the day that Moshe Rabbeinu, the day Moshe came down after Yom Kippur. And the Nesiv HaShalom explains that even after achieving kapara for the Chet HaEgel, we still didn't have full kapara. I mean, every single time that we're punished for anything, we have a little bit of the punishment of the Egel mixed in with that punishment. Moshe Rabbeinu made a special gathering to teach us how to remove the stain of the Egel. How do you remove the stain of such an Aveira, of such an Avodah Zarah, of a Chet HaEgel? So the Gemara in Shabbos tells you how. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches, tells us, Kol HaShomer Shabbos Kilchasa, Afilu Oved Avodah Zarah Kedar Enosh, if every single day we're carrying with us a little bit of the Chet HaEgel, we're carrying with us a little bit of a sense of Avodah Zarah, the Gemara tells us the skula, the Gemara tells us how we can rid ourselves of that. Kol HaShomer Shabbos Kilchasa, Afilu Oved Avodah Zarah Kedar Enosh Mochlano. And when we violated Avodah Zarah, like we did with the Chet HaEgel, we can achieve Mechila through Shabbos. It's the Yom Tchila, the Mekrei Kodesh. It's the beginning of our achievements in Kedusha. And the way that Shabbos helps us achieve forgiveness for the unforgivable might be related to that special glow, that Panim Chadashos. Because that's exactly what Tshuva is, right? How the Rambam describes Tshuva. That the Rambam describes in Hilchos Tshuva, a person declaring that he's Meshana Shmo, Kolomer, Ani Acher, Ve'eni Osu Isha Osa Namaisim. I'm not the same person anymore. How do you become not the same person? Where do we ever have that you can literally become a Panim Chadashos? Well, that can happen on Shabbos. So Shabbos is connected to Tshuva, which is connected to a Kapara for the Chet HaEgel, which is connected to the Keren Orpanav, the Karen Orpanav of Moshe Rabbeinu, that it's all it's all the same inyan. It gives a person a sense not just of rejuvenation, but a sense of his chachos, of being a new person, of becoming somebody else. And it seems that l'chora there are two ways to tap into that radiance that Shabbos offers. There's the Moshe Rabbeinu way, and there's the Vayakhel way. Meaning, it's almost opposites, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, God is Karen, are far away from any other human beings. He was up on the top of the mountain. He was all alone. He was just enjoying being enemies of Ashkina, being in close proximity, a direct encounter with the Ribbono Shalom, a spiritual elevation, the likes of which have never been matched in human history. But he knew that when he came down, a battered nation that was feeling dejected after the Chedah Egel wasn't going to be able to achieve the radiance in that way. So he taught a second way to achieve the radiance. Vayakhel, by gathering Jewish people together. The elevation that could be experienced by masses of Jews coming together for some constructive purpose is a transformative experience. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to give us a taste of that. So that he called for a vayakhel. He called for a gathering of the Jewish people, not because we didn't know about Shabbos, but he wanted to show us how we can turn over our very identities and become people that have a sense of kedusha. You know, where this Shabbos happens to be the first Shabbos after the clock change. So I know every Shabbos is really roughly the same length, but it's not really, right? Meaning it's a much longer Shabbos, this Shabbos. It's a much longer Shabbos day than we normally have. And whether, you know, ultimately in the summer, many people start making early Shabbos, so Shabbos actually gets longer. You actually have more hours of Shabbos. But certainly when you think of your schedule on Shabbos, when you wake up on Shabbos morning, it's the same basic schedule, whether it's the wintertime or summertime, right? Meaning you wake up roughly the same time, minyan starts the same time, minyan ends the same time. Your su'uda starts the same time, your su'uda ends the same time. Mincha is going to be X number of hours before the end of Shabbos, whatever it is, an hour before the end of Shabbos, an hour and a half before the end of Shabbos, and you'll have your shalosh shos, you'll have your ma'ariv. What changes is the gap in between. Right, it's the gap in between the Su'uda and Mincha. Okay, so they have all these early Mincha Minyanim. Maybe you could have a nice prolonged Shalosh Shuddas just to kill time. Maybe all these things to kill time. That's never our goal. We're not looking to kill time. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like giving us time. Time that you can't be on technology, that you can't drive anywhere, that you can't go anywhere. And it's the same Shabbos, just with extra hours in the middle of the afternoon. You know, Rabbi Reisman always gives the Musar this time of year, and I'm going to share it with you right now. Whatever time you got to shul for Mincha last Shabbos, after your Suda, even if you took a nap and whatever, which is great. I'm a big fan of the Shabbos nap, right? It's geschmack, right? But whatever time, somehow after the Shabbos nap, you somehow manage to make it to Mincha, you know, at sometimes during the winter at 4 o'clock. So in the summer, it's not possible. It's not possible to finish the Suda at 2:30, take a nap, and get to shul by 4. Whatever time you got there last Shabbos, you can get there this Shabbos. The only difference is, you'll now have an hour more before Mincha starts. Ooh, what would you ever do with that time? You have an hour more before Mincha starts. You have an opportunity to learn undisturbed on Shabbos. Wouldn't it be amazing if all of our shuls filled up with people that came for last week's Man Mincha? You know, like the guy who accidentally, you know, who reads the schedule wrong and, like, you know, and he shows up, you know, like it's happened a few times where, like, there are guys that always come late and, like, they come, like, 5 minutes early for davening, and you're like, oh, you read the schedule wrong, right? Like, yeah, I did. Okay, but you see that it's possible. You know, like, as a rabbi, you want to send them the wrong schedule, right? You want to just, like, adjust the times and, like, send, you know, but we can do that, right? We're given extra time during our Shabbos. Now I understand, you know, for those who are married, those who have young children, there are other expectations and obligations, but it's at least worth a conversation, right? I mean, worth a conversation. Somehow the wife managed last week when you made it to Mincha 4:30. Okay, maybe you'll split the difference. Half the time for, you know, the extra time for the family. Okay, maybe there's what to negotiate, there's what to talk about. But certainly, if you're not yet at that stage in life, or like me, you're past that stage in life where anyone cares to spend any time with you. So, then certainly you have these opportunities. So to tap into such an opportunity, I think it's a starker muster. I think it's an important point. Okay.